happening weekend in ninth grade, and from there, there was no turning back. I went on countless retreats, found my closest friends at day spring rather than school, and made my own proclamation of Jesus as my Savior after serving on a happening team. So when I became a youth minister in this diocese, it felt only natural to want our youth involved in diocesan ministry too. But like many things that feel magical as a child, I found that as an adult, diocesan ministry was far more complex. It's no secret that youth programming in Southwest Florida has struggled since COVID, and I often found myself frustrated, disappointed, and complaining in Father Brian's office. A little foreshadowing. If we seem to be the only ones aware of a concern and wonder why someone doesn't do something about it, it may be that we are being called to do it. So when Bishop Doug began laying the groundwork for a renewed diocesan youth ministry last fall and invited Father Brian and me to the table, I admit my interest in the diocesan role was piqued. But things were going so well here. Our program was growing, the finance committee had approved our biggest youth ministry budget ever, and our ministry structure had become reliable and consistent. So why fix something that wasn't broken? But typically, if God has something else planned, he will start to stir discomfort. As Listening Hearts Discerning Call and Community says, if we're not true to the new life rising within us, if we deny, repress, or live in contradiction to it, we invite internal havoc and trigger war within ourselves. Having a priest who, alongside his wife, has known you for over half your life, Father Brian saw that I was wrestling with something for quite some time. And in his kind and pastoral way, he called me on it. We talked back and forth about what might be distracting me or pulling me away from being fully present. And at one point, he just simply asked, "Are you still being called to be in ministry here with us?" I immediately jumped to my own defense. Yes. This is where God is calling me. I don't want to be anywhere else. And with all the sincerity in the world, he replied, "Morgan, sometimes it's not about what we want." Of course, that didn't immediately snap me into spiritual obedience. For months, I kept resisting the possibility that God was calling me into something new. And the more I resisted, the more inner chaos I felt. Around that time, Father and I were appointed to the Diocesan Youth and Young Adult Visioning Committee, a group tasked with listening deeply, dreaming boldly, and helping shape the future of youth ministry in our diocese. To be honest, we joined with some skepticism. Yeah. We weren't sure anything would change or if our voices would be heard, but as conversations unfolded and I listened to others and shared ideas, something shifted. A stirring, a nudge, a quiet realization. Maybe I wasn't just helping share a new vision. Maybe I was being called into it. Then one afternoon, Lindsay stopped by, as she often did, and we started chatting. I honestly don't remember how the conversation turned in that direction. I'm pretty sure we weren't even discussing diocesan youth ministry. But suddenly, I felt a warmth rush over me. My hand started to shake, and I lowered my head. Without looking up, I said, "Lindsay, I think God is calling me to be the new diocesan youth minister." With tears in her eyes, much like my own, she said she already knew that this had been God's plan all along. Still, I had doubts, practical ones. I told God I could never run summer camp. Then the bishop announced that the role would be split, one position for diocesan youth ministry and one for camp and outdoors. It was a relief. I said, "Oh my gosh, I cannot live at Day Spring." Then we learned that the camp director would live there, not the diocesan youth missioner. Then I thought, well, it has to be full-time or it's not sustainable. And we heard that both positions would be full-time. I feared, what if Father Brian won't allow us to worship here anymore? And when I shared this, his response was, "So long as I don't interfere, holy innocence will always be our home." And what about my summer? I can't dump Lynn to lead VBS on her own, or expect this nearly fresh group of chaperones to lead my kids on a mission trip to Tennessee with an organization that we've never used before. So Bishop Doug said, "We knew that if we found the right person, the timing would be secondary." So one by one, the barriers I had clung to started to fall away. It was as if God was gently saying, "I hear you. I see what's holding you back. Let me show you what's possible." So slowly, in a way I hadn't expected, my journey to mirror the gospel today, my journey began to mirror the gospel that we heard today. "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Ask." After that conversation with Lindsay, she gave me a copy of Listening Hearts. I hadn't read it before, but I opened it with a sense of curiosity and honestly a little desperation. I began to ask for clarity, for peace, for God's will to become louder than my own. It became less about asking for answers and more about asking to be shaped, to have the heart and humility to follow where God might lead. Seek. I sought not just answers, but wisdom and peace. I met with my friend Jerry Gardner, who helped me listen more deeply for God's voice beneath the noise of my own in the world around me. I spoke with Father Brian, who asked the hard questions and helped me sort through what I was really being called to. And I talked with my husband, whose confirmation meant more to me than I can truly express. It surprised me not because he didn't see my gifts, but because stepping into a role like this meant real sacrifice for our family. He saw the passion burning in me, and when I tried to dim it, and he never really hesitated to say, "We'll figure it out." That kind of support, steady, selfless, and unwavering, was one of the clearest confirmations I received, and it has given me immense gratitude. I also sought through continued obedience, showing up in worship, in study, and in prayer. And Listening Hearts reminded me, it is important that we act on what we have discerned, yet continue to listen in case we have heard incorrectly or incompletely. Seeking meant staying alert even in silence. It meant being willing to act and being willing to be told no, trusting that God blesses even our misunderstandings. Knock. Finally, I needed to knock, to step forward in faith, even when the path wasn't clear. The gospel today reminds us that the door is open when we knock, and that persistence is part of the journey, not because God delays, but because faith is an active trust. I'll be honest. The weeks leading up to our mission trip, I hadn't been persistent in my continued discernment. That's when fear crept in, whispering that staying here would be far easier, that the new job would be too hard, and that I wasn't good enough. But then I recognized that voice for what it was, the enemy trying to steal, kill, and destroy hope. I realized that I had a choice, to let fear win or to keep knocking, trusting that God's persistence and grace were already waiting on the other side. So I knocked, and I keep knocking, not because I have all the confidence in myself, but because I have confidence in the one who calls and equips. But I'd be doing you and myself a disservice if I didn't also say that this transition has not been easy. In fact, it's been one of the most heartbreaking experiences of my life. A few days ago, I came across a reflection that gave language to what I've been carrying. It was about something called grief and obedience, how sometimes doing the right thing, the faithful thing, still leaves you heartbroken. The reflection said that grief shows up not because you're unsure of your calling, but because you are having to release a piece of your life that felt secured and sacred. Sometimes we think yes to God should feel victorious and full of clarity, but often it feels like mourning. You feel the cost, you feel the ache, You know his way is better, and yet you feel the weight of what he's asking you to let go of. I have felt that ache in ways I didn't anticipate. I have cried more tears in this season than I can count, not because I'm unsure of the call, but because the transition is real. Because you all, this community, have been a part of my life in a way that has shaped me, formed me, and held me. Excuse me. So that brings me to you. As I stand here, preparing to step into this next chapter, my heart is overwhelmed by the love and faithfulness of this community. You were there from the very beginning, literally helping us carry boxes into our home when we first arrived, and you've been beside us ever since. You've shown up in ways I never expected and will never forget. You crafted up a drive-through baby shower for Oliver, and you covered me in prayers while I was pregnant with Jane. You sorted closets and organized thousands of beads. You've moved furniture, joined committees, and taken on tasks that had nothing to do with you, simply because you knew that they mattered to me in this ministry. You've loved my children like your own. You've given them gifts just because, held their tiny hands at these altar rails, scooped them up when they're almost out the door, babysat them, carpooled them, kept them overnight, all so I could do the work God was calling me to do. You've been my friends, my bonus mothers, my sisters, my brothers, my family. You've dropped everything when I needed help, in my personal life and in my ministry. You've given up your summers, your weekends, your evenings. You've sacrificed time and energy and comfort so our youth can be formed, our families supported, and our church strengthened. You've bought poorly assembled subs and spent $200 on a $20 pie. Not because the items were worth it, but because the ministry was. You've questioned me. You've challenged me, watched me try, fail, and then try again. And somehow you kept showing up. You kept believing in this ministry, in me, and in what God was doing here. This community is like anything I've ever known. You are the standard for what it means to be a church. Please don't ever underestimate who you are and what you carry. The way you show up for each other, for your leaders, for your community, your children and youth, is rare and deeply holy. You are living proof of what it means to be the body of Christ. You've helped me become who I am today, and now you're sending me out, not away from you, but forward because of you. This next chapter isn't a departure. It's a continuation of the love and faith that's been formed right here. So keep being who you are, keep loving big, keep raising up leaders, keep setting the bar for what church should feel like. And to my youth, my beautiful, hilarious, faithful, deeply good humans, thank you. Thank you for the belly laughs, for the joy that spilled over and reminded me why this ministry matters so much. Thank you for letting me grow up alongside you in my faith and in my leadership and in learning what it means to walk with Jesus in real messy life. Thank you for your grace when I stumbled, for your help when things needed doing, and for believing in me in this program. You made every event, every trip, every late night moment something sacred. It has been one of my greatest privileges of my life to walk with you, and I carry every one of you in my heart as I step into this next season. Keep being bold, keep asking questions, and never lose that fierce faith that makes you who you are. So I stand at this threshold with tears of gratitude, grief, joy and hope all tangled together. I go not because I'm done here, but because God's story in me continues. I go because I believe in the work God is doing and because you believed in me first. May we all continue to ask boldly, seek faithfully, and knock courageously, trusting that the one who calls us is always faithful to respond. Thank you for being my home, my teachers, my people. Thank you, Brian, for taking a chance on me. And thank you all especially for loving me enough to send me. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.